Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About Christianity. I'm your host for Season 2. Keith is no longer doing the hosting position. I am. Now he's been demoted to Simple Conversator.
Wow. Really?
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I took over. I thought I did a better job anyway,
introducing the program. Oh, okay. Okay. You do a better job of introducing the program. Okay. Well.
It's not a cold rainy morning, but it's a medium temperature.
No, it's definitely not cold out here, but we are at Pavilion 4. You know, I was thinking driving out here, Zach, that of all the times we've been out here to Pavilion 4, this may be the first time when, no, it has rained on us before.
When we kayaked.
Yes, and it
it looked the exact same as it looks right
now.
Well,
the very first episode we recorded out here, we were sitting at a picnic table right over there, and we got chased into Pavilion 4 by the rain. And as it turns out, it was a good thing.
It was a great
thing. Because we found out that, who would have thought that the acoustics were so good under a pavilion?
This is literally an outdoor sound booth.
It is. It is absolutely fantastic. And we would have never discovered this if it hadn't been for that rain that day.
We wouldn't have.
But since then, it's not rained an awful lot. It is an overcast but gorgeous morning. Mm-hmm. It is, you probably are not keeping score at home, but this is a Monday morning. And Zach, actually, we've not seen one another since last Monday morning when we recorded.
What happened, Keith? Why haven't I seen you?
Yeah, why haven't you seen me?
Malaria.
Malaria. Oh, yeah.
So Keith had malaria. That's a thing. Now, don't jump to the conclusions and start posting on Facebook. There's malaria in Eastern Kentucky from mosquitoes.
No, I did not catch it in Eastern Kentucky.
You probably would have just sent the people listening to this into a frenzy.
I can prove it scientifically that I did not catch it in Eastern Kentucky. But yeah, this has been a crazy week to say the least, in the midst of a bunch of crazy weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But
they keep getting crazier.
Let's not say that. we don't ever need crazier than last week.
Do you ever wake up in the morning like, these weeks are getting too chaotic, I can't handle this?
I actually, just started, making reference again to keeping score, I started, sort of listing in my mind all the things that have happened in the past 3 months. And, it was like malaria was the cherry on top of the milkshake,
It's been a bad 3 months.
It's been an interesting 3 months, that is for sure. So what happened was... we recorded last Monday morning.
Did.
Mm-hmm. And then...
Perfectly fine. Not a thing wrong with
not
you.
Not a thing. And actually had a... just fast forward. Actually had a video conference that I was participating in that night that did not end until like 10:45. And...
you were fine.
And I was fine. I was fine. And... then, I don't know if anybody else ever does this or not, but I've not had a milkshake since September.
You haven't. And you cut them all out.
I did. And which for me, that was big. But,
Wendy's Frosty is a big one for you.
I love Wendy's Frosties. They are the absolute best. They are absolutely also, though, of all the fast food.
so unhealthy.
They are at the top of the list of... Wendy's Frosty, has more fat, more carbs, more
it's the type
everything.
Of food that after you eat, you feel dirty.
I don't feel wrong.
I do.
Anyway, the girls had gone to town earlier that evening. They're like, do you want anything? I'm like, yeah, I want a milkshake. Hadn't done that since September, but, just got back from Peru. All this other crazy stuff going on, and I'm like, you know what? I'm such a good guy. I deserve this milkshake. Right. And so I said, yep, give me a milkshake. So they had come back probably about 8, somewhere in there. I stuck it in the freezer because I like my milkshakes cold. I like to eat them with a spoon. I don't like to suck them up with a straw. And so I got off the video conference and I went to eat that milkshake. And I started eating it, and you know how sometimes you'll get a little shiver when you're eating something that cold, and started shivering a little bit, and kept eating. And turns out it didn't matter. I mean, I might as well have gone ahead and eaten it. But by the time I got done eating it, I've never shivered like that in my life.
Right.
Like full body, you know, and yeah, and part of me is like, am I having a seizure?
Like convulsions.
And yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm not having a seizure because, number one, I'm still conscious, you know? And anyway, went and got in the bed, still shivering, got out of the bed, got another blanket and put on me.
Still shivering.
And Stacy came to bed about midnight, somewhere in there, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm shivering, you know. She said that during the night, Monday night, that, and you know, of course, she's poking ibuprofen in me, and what are you pointing at?
Caitlin.
Oh, yeah.
Caitlin is kayaking.
She's rubbing it in our faces.
We're watching her.
She said my fever was like no fever she had ever seen before. It didn't get super high.
Right.
I think the highest that she ever checked, and she was checking my temperature every hour, but the highest that she ever caught it was like 102.9.
Oh, wow. It's high, but it's not like.
Yeah, it's not like stupid high.
Yeah, like deathly ill high.
Yeah. Know? But she said I was delirious. I was talking out of my head, you know, just and so anyway, you know, wake up the next morning, the fever starts to break a little bit. But she's like, we're going to the doctor.
Right.
Okay, we're going to the doctor. So we get up and we go to the doctor's office and went in, you know, and it was kind of funny because I really thought I had dengue fever at this point. I mean, that's what I thought I had. Although when I started in with the shivering and everything, the thought did go through my mind, wow, this is just like malaria, you know. But you know, we walk into the doctor's office and they call me back and the nurse is like, well, what's wrong with you today? And I'm like, I've got dengue fever. And she's like, I seriously doubt that. And I'm like, no.
You don't know where I've been.
That's right. You don't know where I've been. And so then she, you know, her tune changes. And although I don't know that she ever really seriously believed me.
Right.
You know. The doctor comes in, she's like, you need to go to the hospital.
Right.
No, I'm not going. Zach, I have not been in the hospital since second grade and I got my tonsils taken out. And I have to admit.
You got to eat ice cream all the time though.
I have to admit. I was proud of that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sitting there going, man, this is a streak here.
Right.
You know, I mean, we've got a streak going, and I'm not going to break it because of dengue. What are they going to do for me in the hospital? Dengue fever, it's viral. It has to run its course.
Yep.
The only thing they're going to do is...
Medication.
Is no, there's no medication to give for dengue fever.
They can't give you fluids or anything?
They're going to give me fluids, and they're going to keep me awake all night drawing blood and checking my vital signs. You know, I can go home, I can sleep in my bed, I can drink plenty of fluids.
You don't have to, you know, sit there and smell the smell of the hospital, you know, the dreaded smell of the hospital.
It was fine.
There was no smell. See,
you wouldn't know this because you didn't come visit me.
Oh, I knew that one was coming.
You knew that one was coming.
I knew that one was coming.
And I set you up for it when I said, we've not seen one another in a week. I spend 3 days in the hospital and you don't even come see me.
Keith, I was working overnights, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
The hospital's not open for visitors overnight anyway. But
so if I ever get put
digress.
In the hospital, you're...
I digress. Yeah, if you ever get put in the hospital, just, you know.
Not happening.
Remember that time I was in the hospital?
So, anyway. No, I'm not going to the hospital.
Anyway.
And so the doctor was like, well, will you go see this infectious disease doctor?
Right.
And you know what? I, you know, normally I don't plug individuals or businesses. That's not what this program is about. But it was Donetta Wallace, whom I saw that morning. The infectious disease doctor that I went to see that afternoon was Dr. Manon, mm-hmm. down at Prestonsburg. And, you know, like walk into Dr. Manon's office and, you know, he's not giving me the whole, you know, ha ha ha, you've got dengue. Sure, you've got dengue fever.
Right. He's
you know.
Giving you
like we walked in and by the way, you know, seriously, like Stacy's having to lead me by this point. So, you know, he's, you know, giving me that eye, you know, it's, right. it's the, I'm not going to say anything right now, but I'm looking deep inside your soul,
right.
you know,
soul.
So we get done and he's like, okay, I'm going to send you over to get labs drawn. Mm-hmm. I want very specific labs drawn. I'm handwriting these instructions for the lab technicians,
mm-hmm.
exactly what I want. And I mean, from the time we walked in the door, he knew what was wrong with me. He
right.
knew what to do about it. So anyway, you know, making a long story as short as I possibly can, we go over to the hospital. For whatever reason, Stacy ends up standing at the window for like 15 minutes getting me registered, mm-hmm. and I had to go sit down.
Right.
And, you know, if you know me, that's not me.
Nope. It's not.
And so I'm like sitting over in one of the chairs, you know, and people are looking at me, you know, kind of like walking, you know, far around me. And I'm not contagious. It's just dengue fever. You know,
yeah.
you cannot catch it from me, you know. And,
come over here, little Susie, and sit next to me.
Yeah,
get away
yeah.
from
let
the
me
scary
bounce
man.
You on your knee, little Susie, on my knee. Anyway, you know, we finally go back, and I ended up getting sick while we were waiting. We go. I come back from the bathroom, and they're immediately ready to draw my blood. I go back there, and I'm like, look, I've never passed out with a blood draw before, but, oh, I forgot to mention my blood pressure was, like, stupid low through
really?
All of this, yes. And I'm like, my blood pressure's really low. She's like, how low is it? I told her, and she's like, and they let you walk out of the doctor's office?
Mm.
That was her response to that. So, anyway, technically, I did not pass out.
Right.
But everything did start going black around the edges, and, you know, my hearing went away.
Right.
I knew what was going on physiologically, and it, you know, it, like, took every bit of willpower that I had within me to not pass out.
Right.
And so then we get done with the blood draw, and Stacy's like, I'm taking you to the ER. No, we're not going to the ER. We're going home.
Keith is very adamant that he wants to go home.
And I wanted to go home. I did not want to go to the ER. I did not want to go over there and have to start all over and all of that. So we went home. When we get home, she is still texting back and forth with, you know, and to make a long story short, of course, I guess, you know, if you heard me say that I had seen Donetta that morning, you've already done the math and figured out that
right.
Dr. Collins, you know,
yeah.
is my physician. Dr. Collins was out of town, so she couldn't directly admit me without the permission of the physician who was covering for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and I text her and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go. Can you direct admit me? I don't know that I can handle going through the ER.
Right.
I was at that point where, you know, just the thought of going to the ER and them starting all over and spending 6 hours in there while they
ponder.
In the ER had to make up their minds what to
yeah.
do with me. And then, you know, because Dr. Collins was out of town, you know, go through the, well, we got to admit him to somebody. Who
mm-hmm.
are we going to admit him to? So Dr. Collins had to call the physician who was covering for her. I'll leave his name out of it because he is not my physician. You know, she's like, this just doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, he's odds are he's not going to agree to accept you.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, next thing I know, she's texting me back saying, yep, he agreed. You know, go to the hospital. And so we go to the hospital again, fast forward, get into the hospital, and I'm admitted.
Mm-hmm.
About the time we pulled up to the hospital, I get the text message from Dr. Collins saying, you have malaria.
Oh, wow.
And so then it was kind of like, well, if I had any thoughts of chickening out and going back home, you know, it's that's kind of over.
The streak ends today.
So, yeah, the streak is over. So we, you know, we were sitting there in the emergency room waiting for the bed to get ready. And the clerk calls me over and she's like, Dr. Manon's in the ER and wants to talk to you now. And so he was like there in the emergency room, you know, waiting for us to get there. Right. I don't know. He's a doctor. I don't know how he knows what he knows, but he does. And so we go back there and he's like, you'll have malaria. but it's okay. This is what we're going to do. And he had a plan.
Everything from
the word go, he had a plan. There was never a moment in his mind where he was like, okay, we will have a plan in an hour, which which would be interpreted as I have to go home and Google this, you know. Yeah. He knew exactly what to do from the word go. Absolutely fantastic. If you ever have an infectious disease, I recommend him above all others.
But we also recommend never getting an infectious disease or try your hardest not to do it.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not get any infectious diseases. But
and sometimes they're sprung upon you by means that you have no control over.
Yeah, like
a mosquitoes.
Bite. Yeah. You know, so anyway, yeah, that's basically that story. And Tuesday, hands down, I would have to say, was the, physically speaking, the worst day I've ever had in my life.
It was, probably.
Physically speaking, it was the worst day I've ever had in my life. And Wednesday was only incrementally better.
Right.
You know, it was bad times. There's no doubt about that at all. And then Thursday, Thursday evening, so I went from, I don't want to go to the hospital. They can treat me just as well at home as you know. By the way, I want to get sidetracked again and say that Stacy and I have been married for 25 years. I got thinking about this the other day. And through those 25 years, this is the first time that she has really put the whole in sickness and health thing to the test regarding
right.
me.
Right. Having to walk you everywhere.
Yeah.
Be and, your human guide.
So, you know.
No, Caitlin, you can't have the keys.
Here you go, Caitlin. There. I guess you're done kayaking?
Yeah.
Okay.
You just got your 2 seconds of fame from being
on
our program.
So, yeah, you should have at least said hello. Okay. So, anyway, she has taken such good care of me. Not that I expected anything less.
Right.
But, you know, it didn't come as a surprise, but she just... You know,
it's like having a nurse that's not a nurse.
It's sort of like validation of, you know what, 25 years ago when we got married,
I chose the right one.
I did the right thing, you know. and let me back up also, and I've got to give a shout out to the staff at Highlands Regional Medical Center. Heather and Alyssa were the two CNAs who Heather, you are absolutely fantastic.
Right.
You know, and then the two nurses that we had, or that I had, Grace, she's actually from South Korea.
Really?
I did the whole, you know, she told me, I'm from South Korea.
How'd
and
I'm you
like,
end up in Prestonsburg? Yeah, really.
And she said, ha, 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 I get that all the time. But Grace was absolutely fantastic, and Ashton was my nurse during the daytime, and she was just wonderful. I could not have asked for better care than I got by the staff at Highlands. And just, you know, they were great. And I cannot praise them enough or thank them enough because, for one thing, I was told that when I went into the hospital, I was a little bit grumpy.
Oh, I couldn't imagine that.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's shocking, and I'm not sure how much I really believe it, but I was told that I was a little bit grumpy, but I'll tell you a little funny story. When they took me up, Heather actually came to the emergency room, got me, took me upstairs, and was getting me set up in the room, and that was about the time that my fever started coming back. Right. You know, it had come and gone several times during the day, but it was going back up at that point. And we got in the room, and Heather's like, "Do you need anything?" I'm like, "A blanket."
No.
Give me a blanket. No, two blankets. Give me two blankets.
Make that three blankets. And I'm shivering.
And no, I said two. I said, give me two blankets. I thought three might be overdoing it a little, right. You know. But Heather's like, okay, no problem. And then she left and didn't come back for like 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing her job. I understand that. But during that 30 minutes, I'm laying there shivering. And it wasn't that I was thinking unkind thoughts, you know, right. but the thought did come through my mind. If that girl comes back in this room and does not have the blankets and wants to take my blood pressure or mm-hmm. anything, it's going to be a standoff because she is not getting my arm until mm-hmm. I've got my blankets.
Right.
And of course I didn't say this to Stacy, and I knew that if I did that I was, you know, probably going to hear about it from Stacy, but I was going to get my blankets. I was going to get my blankets. I wasn't going to be rude about it, right. but I was simply going to say, nope, these are my terms, and when you meet my terms, you will get my arm, and you can take my blood pressure. And
can't imagine you were a little bit grumpy going into the hospital.
Heather walks in the door with not one, not two, but three. Three blankets.
That girl, Heather.
And yes, Heather, thank you so much. I, you know, you told me you had my back, and I should never have doubted you.
Nope.
You know, it was just absolutely fantastic care. I mean,
getting better.
I don't know. Again, I wasn't. Yeah, I guess I was a little surprised.
Right.
Because I didn't have anything to compare it to.
Never been in the hospital since fourth grade.
Hadn't been in the hospital since second grade.
Second grade. Oh, wow. 2 years earlier.
Yeah. And so, you know, well, we're not going to count the years. But
long time.
A long time. But, you know, just absolutely fantastic care. And, you know, it was, as far as that went, that was a good experience.
Right.
But anyway, I got sidetracked in all of that. I went from, I'm not going to enter the hospital, to when they told me I could go home. I'm sitting there going, should I go home?
Yeah, complete.
Should I stay
change.
One more night?
Right.
And honestly, I was extremely hesitant to leave. All I would have had to have done was said the word, and I would have been there one more night.
A big change
and,
of heart.
You know, went home extremely timid.
Mm-hmm.
After all that I had been through, and but at the same time, it's like, we can take your IV out, we can take the heart monitor off of you, you can go home and get in your own bed, and yeah, I took that.
Yeah.
So, but you know, as far as the process and everything went, could not have asked for better care from any of the three physicians and a PA, and then the nurses and the aides, and
right.
you know, everyone was just
fantastic.
They were fantastic. Even the guy who brought our food into us, I think his name was Austin. He brought our a tray of food in as they were beginning to discharge me, and I'm like, you know, You can leave the food, but I'm not going to eat it. I'm going home, and
right.
and he like looks at me and goes, I think you need an assistant. You know, he's like, let me go home with you. You know, but you know, this just fantastic. I cannot say enough about the care that I received at Highlands.
In all of this, you had to ask yourself some questions, right?
Sure. There were many questions that went through my mind, even though, honestly, my brain did not start working properly or I won't say properly.
Does it ever work properly?
It started working like it normally works. We'll put it that way. Until Friday.
Right.
Seriously. I mean, my thought processes were, you know, that skewed. The brain starts working again and questions, you know, start going through your mind.
Right.
But before we do that, I want to back up one more time. And I want to say, for those of you, I've encountered this so many times, malaria. I've never known anyone who had malaria. Malaria, is it contagious? Malaria.
Did you spread your malaria viruses all over the door handles?
Well, and that was one of the things that was a misconception, Zach.
Right.
Malaria is not a virus.
Right.
That is why, like with the dengue fever, mm-hmm. you just have to let it run its mm-hmm. course. With malaria, though, it is actually a parasite.
Really?
So, yes, it is a parasite that is carried by mosquitoes.
Yeah.
The mosquito bites you, the parasite enters your bloodstream. And you stop and think about how small this parasite must be to enter your bloodstream from a mosquito.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're talking microscopic parasites.
Yeah.
And what it does is it travels through your bloodstream to your liver and it begins infecting other... it begins infecting red blood cells in your liver, and then those red blood cells, you know, it begins multiplying, and then there's a metamorphosis that takes place of some kind that changes it to where if a mosquito bites you,
mm-hmm.
then that mosquito takes the changed malaria parasite. And it actually goes into the body of the mosquito because the mosquito, when it is sucking blood from your body, that blood is actually going into the stomach of the mosquito.
Mm-hmm.
And it within the stomach of the mosquito, I'm boring you with all of this, but...
You're putting me to sleep, but it's okay.
But, you know, within the stomach of the mosquito, it changes again and eventually changes into where the mosquito can infect someone else.
So it changes a bunch of times.
It's not even like you could get bitten by a mosquito that was infected with malaria.
Right.
And then... a second mosquito come and bite you and then immediately bite me and then I would have malaria.
Right.
You know, that's not the way that it works. You know, the mosquito is what perpetuates it, but it has to be perpetuated within your body also.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's actually a pretty complex process and everything. And it's not like a virus where... you come in contact with it and, you know, you've got it. Those were all encouraging things to learn. And that actually was one of the questions that I had, you know, mm-hmm. am I a danger to others, you know?
Right.
And that was, you know, one of the things that I had to learn about malaria. What I knew about it was very, very small, although it seems like what I knew about it was greater than
what some other people.
But no matter what
it does, malaria is a bad, bad way.
It's bad.
You don't want to get it.
Don't do it. So anyway, let's get into some of these questions that I had.
Mm-hmm.
Question number one, am I going to die?
Right. We say this in a joking manner, but it could happen. I mean,
I was not joking when I asked myself that question laying in the hospital bed, you know, am I going to make it through this?
And it's through those really bad sicknesses when you don't feel real good.
Honestly,
at all.
That was, you know, there have been moments like, you know, you're driving down the road and a car swerves into your lane and you're going, this is not going to end well.
Right.
And then the car swerves back into its lane and everything's fine. You know, you have those fleeting moments, but this honestly was the first time that I think that I had ever felt like I was in imminent danger.
Right.
And as it turns out... you know, no, I don't think that I was ever in imminent danger of dying. If I had not gone to the hospital that night, however, it would have been a different story.
Yep.
And that for a number of different reasons.
When you think about the people that malaria actually does kill, probably exist in third world countries where they don't have access to health care and doctors and stuff and medicine to help.
You know, it's one of those things where in the research that I did, I was actually surprised that in some of these places where malaria is so prevalent that people can actually build up an immunity to it. They've had it so many times that they're mm-hmm. immune to it. But malaria is something that there are only like 1,700 cases in the U.S. each year. And most of those are from people like me who have traveled somewhere else and come back. Very few of those cases originate from within the United States.
Our mosquito population.
And as a matter of fact, many years there are zero that originate from within the United States. But it still kills like half a million a year.
Wow.
Most of those are small children in Africa.
Right.
But, it does, if it's left untreated, the mortality rate can be, and the mortality rate would be higher for someone like me who has never had any exposure to it, than for somebody who grew up in an area with it. But, you have that question, am I going to die? And it was one of those things that, you had to take seriously at the moment.
Well, and sometimes I think people look at that question as a fear, rather than a fact. Yes, sometimes there are instances in your life, you consume a sickness and you get ill and you feel like you're actually literally going to die. And then there's the fact that, eventually we're all going to die.
Right.
Eventually every one of us will cease to exist. And at that moment, there is no doubt in my mind, and there's no doubt in your mind, that those who didn't obey Jesus through salvation, baptized with him, and remained faithful to death, are going to regret the fact that they didn't do that before they died.
And it goes back to what I said a moment ago. I don't think I was ever in any imminent danger of death. But if I had not sought treatment when I did, and I have to admit that when I went into the hospital, that I was in pretty bad shape. I had fought it as long as I could. I really, really had. But we know the problem of sin in our lives, and sometimes we will procrastinate seeking the treatment that we need for that sin.
And it's, sometimes it can be a matter of we just don't understand the consequences of sin.
Well, you know what? If ideally, as soon as I started in with the shivering and the fever on Monday night, if I had known then that I had malaria, I would have gone to the hospital right then. We would not have been waiting,
You would have instantly changed your mind then.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you had told me at 1 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday morning that you have malaria, I would have...
Let's go.
Why would I have waited?
Right.
But I thought it was a virus. I thought it had to run its course. And fortunately, honestly, I don't know. And I've asked myself this question too. If I were not married to the perfect woman for me, would I have gone to the doctor Tuesday morning?
Knowing you and the way I know you, I'm not sure that you would have.
I'm not sure that I would have either.
I think you would have tried to be like, I got something in my system, got to get it out.
Yeah, yeah. Because, at the time I thought it was viral.
Right.
Why, once I knew what I had, there was never any doubt You know, I'm sitting there, and well, actually, I got the text message telling me that I had malaria as we were walking in the door to the emergency room for my direct admission.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it honestly, it was yep. There's no turning back now. You know, we've got to enter the hospital. We've got to do this, and you know. Well, maybe there was a brief moment where I'm thinking, okay, the treatment for this is all oral. I can take the oral medication at home as well as I can, you know, but that was a very fleeting, you know.
And if we take this metaphor a little further, you could even say that, you know, every single one of us, you know, at the moment are infected with sin. We all are infected with sin. We can ask for forgiveness for that sin, and then we receive forgiveness for that sin, but we all sin, and eventually, you know, that sin will be in our lives, and then we get it out, and then sometimes it comes back in, and then we get it out, and so on and so forth. But at the very next moment, you know, all of us could die. I mean, there is a very, very good chance that anything could happen to us, and all of us could die. And you've got a point. I can tell that you want to.
Well, I was just going to say that there are some things in our lives that we can ignore, and they will go away.
Right.
I'm not saying dengue fever, you're not going to ignore it. It is bad stuff, but, it's one of those things. There are some things that can be done. As a matter of fact, we both know another individual who, that may have been what he had. Don't know for sure yet, but
he was never officially diagnosed.
They were treating him as if he had malaria also. Mm-hmm. And it seemed, you know, the treatment seemed to help him, as well, but, you know, there are some things we can ignore, but you know, like who in their right mind, if they got a text message saying you tested positive for malaria, is going to say, you know what, I think I'll go to the doctor tomorrow.
Right.
Or, you know, let's wait and let's see what happens with this. And, and you know, maybe, you know exactly what it is. You know that.
And if you don't know what it is, you've heard about it.
The treatment is there. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about malaria. When we start talking about these in these other countries and the high rate of mortality, there is treatment. They just don't have access to it.
Right.
Okay, so fast forward to sin. There is treatment for sin.
And you have access
to it. And there is no one who should not have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you choose to accept that treatment, which is the blood of Jesus, that's up to you.
It's up to your own discretion.
But it's available.
Right.
To everyone.
Yep.
Okay, so actually, question number three on this list, because we touched about question number two all that I want to.
But the question number three is, will I hear again?
So, turns out that the treatment, the best treatment, is a drug called Malarone.
Okay.
Malaria, Malarone.
Right.
You know.
You get where it's going.
And that is the drug that you take prophylactically, actually.
Right.
You can take the one pill a week.
Really?
One pill a week.
You would think it would be more strenuous.
When you are entering a zone that has malaria, and then like 2 weeks after you get back, you know, you take one pill a week.
Hmm.
The regimen that they put me on was a little bit more intense.
What I'm going to go with three. Two per day.
Four per day.
Ooh.
Four per day. And it had to be like exactly 6 hours, apart. And took 12 of those over a three-day period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know this may surprise you, but turns out that particular drug is not in abundant supply in Eastern Kentucky.
Hey, that surprises me.
As a matter of fact,
when's the last time we had a malaria case?
You don't know how many times that I heard, I've never treated anyone. I've never heard of anyone having malaria. But that's a different story. The drug's not readily available. I was diagnosed at about 6 o'clock on Tuesday evening, mm-hmm. and we got the drug in hand at about noon on Thursday.
Right.
So what's going on? Oh, we're fine.
Anyway.
So the treatment that was used dating back to the 1940s.
Right.
Quinine and doxycycline. That's what they had on hand. So they began treating us immediately with the quinine and the doxycycline. Well, as it turns out, one of the side effects of quinine is a ringing in the ears. And I didn't know that at first.
Right.
All I knew was that the ringing in my ears was so bad that I couldn't hear.
Right.
Now, if you were looking at me, I could hear you. But if your head was turned this way, it affected how the sound waves, entered my ears or whatever.
Sounds crazy.
It does sound crazy. And if I went into the bathroom and turned the water on,
right.
It sounded like you had glass beads and were pouring them into a bowl.
Whoa.
That's how the water falling into right. the sink sounded. I could not hear low tones.
At all.
But I could hear higher pitch tones that... I just killed that mosquito.
Kill them all you can,
kill them all!
Get you a big mosquito swatter.
Which that's actually a question that is not on this list, but why did God make mosquitoes? I've had so many people ask me that question. Why did God make mosquitoes? So anyway, I can't hear.
Right.
And I'm going, is this going to go away?
Yeah.
And please tell me that this is a side effect of the drug and this isn't a damage of some sort that was caused by the malaria itself or the high mm-hmm. fever or, this or that. And so then, I started doing research and, this is just a side effect of the quinine. It's going to go away. And as soon as I got off the quinine, it started improving. But,
it's scary. It's definitely scary, especially when you've never had it before and you don't know, everything that goes on.
I never want it again.
Right.
So let's make an analogy out of this.
Okay.
Before you are infected by sin,
mm-hmm.
you're pure.
Right.
I know so many people that have asked the question, can God ever forgive me? Can I ever be forgiven mm-hmm. of my sins?
Yeah.
Will I ever be put back the way that I was?
Or the statement that I don't know if I'm worthy of salvation.
Yes.
I've heard that before too.
Yes. And we ask those questions.
And it comes from a very real place too. You think those questions wouldn't, but they really do. They come from a very real place.
And you end up essentially asking, how can God possibly forgive me? And that goes back to the love that God has mm-hmm. for us, and it is a love that is immeasurable. It is a love that is indescribable.
Right.
It is a love that is so deep that we cannot fathom it.
Right.
And, we can, and love is one of those things. Okay, we talked about the fact that malaria was a microscopic parasite.
Right.
And by the way, if you, and I think I mentioned this when I posted the last episode on our webpage, but if you recall from the last episode,
mm-hmm.
We were talking about the trip to Peru, and I was actually talking about the mosquitoes, and I was right. talking about all the preventative measures that I had taken, and then, little did I know that 15 hours later, I was going to begin the worst illness of my life,
right.
We must have faith in God. We must have faith in His love.
Mm-hmm.
And on the one hand, I don't really like using this kind of analogy, but when we are talking about something that is so indescribable as the love of our God, at some point our imagination sort of have to take over. Because we can't touch it, we can't feel it, we can't pour it in a cup and measure it.
We can read about it.
We can read about it and one of my
One of my favorite verses regarding this subject is 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 19. And 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 19 say, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of lamb without blemish and without spot."
Yes.
And sometimes I think these questions come from a place where we feel, or rather we underestimate our value as humans.
Yes.
We don't feel valuable.
And
what is our value?
Our value was enough that God's love sent his son to the cross to shed his blood so that we could be put back the way that we were.
Mm-hmm. And Eric Owens, when he was doing the gospel meeting a month and a half ago now, he said, one of the things he said that stood out to me was, what is our worth? He asked the question, what is our worth? And then he answered that question by saying, the blood of Christ.
Yes.
The blood of Christ is our worth. And there could be nothing more worthy.
Right. But, you know, we cannot forget the love of our God. Okay, so now on our list, question number...
What are the odds I'm going to get malaria? I'll be all right.
You know, this is not the first time that I've been in malaria zones.
You're a veteran of malaria zones by now.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
But we mentioned a moment ago that a friend was also sick at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
We did not mention the fact that this friend was from Paintsville.
Right.
We did not mention the fact also earlier that this friend ended up in the same hospital room as me.
kids together.
He got checked in 3 or 4 hours after I did.
Right.
But, it was kind of a joke. You know, when they took us into this room and I saw the orders and they're like, "You're going to be in 423 bed 2. And I'm like, "Well, you know, they didn't put me in the corner isolation room." And which kind of surprised me.
Right.
And I thought, great, I'm going to have a roommate. And so they wheel me into the room and both beds are laying there empty. And they're like, "You're in bed 2. And so Stacy and I actually kind of made the joke, "Ha ha ha, they can put him in the other bed." And the nurse heard us and she's like, "That's exactly where he's going." And we're like, "Oh." So
2 hours later, here comes Bobby.
Yeah. So, what are the odds of two people from the same place ending up with two different things?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, they were treating him for malaria, but they really thought he had dengue or possibly Chattanooga fever. And then end up in the same hospital room.
Right.
There are so many factors there, which means that we had to have been bitten by two different mosquitoes,
mm-hmm.
but two different mosquitoes carrying two different diseases.
Right.
And
as you continue,
the odds are, they are sort of limited by the fact that we were in the same place at the same time. But to come down with two different diseases,
mm-hmm.
you know, the odds are just so, so teeny, teeny, tiny
mm-hmm.
That, you know, it was just kind of crazy.
Right.
He and I were certainly not the only ones on this. He and I were not the only ones on this trip who got sick.
Yeah,
there were a disproportionately large number of teammates who got sick from this trip. As a matter of fact, rumor has it that one of them even had typhoid. So then we're talking about three different diseases you know, from the same trip. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to scare anybody, and I'm, you know.
Mission work is good, and it has a good mission, but
yeah,
sometimes you.
But, you know, still, it's like, what are the odds of this happening? And to be honest, I don't really have a point to make with this. It was just one of those questions that ran through my mind. Okay, so the last thing on this list.
Dehydration.
We're going to move on from that because we're starting to run out of time.
Right.
Dehydration. Dehydration was actually what put me in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I had sweated so much from the fever.
Right.
And I was not taking in enough fluids. And, you know, I've got good veins. I'm a former paramedic. We went into the nurse came in, Grace. She came in to start my IV, and she's like, which hand, are you right-handed or left-handed? And I'm like, nope, you need to go in left hand. Mm-hmm. And I've got great veins here, and here. And she's like, yeah, I can't find any of those because of the dehydration. So the point I want to take away from this, and we'll make it real fast because I got to get to this last point, is that if you put off seeking salvation,
right,
the odds of you being able to get the treatment begin to shrink.
They do. Yep.
We have the tendency to say, you know what, God, Jesus, I'm going to do the right thing, but the timing's just not right.
And we're all procrastinators.
The more we put it off,
mm-hmm,
the harder our hearts are going to become,
yep,
the more likely it is that we are going to be paying those consequences for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put off seeking the blood of Christ for your sins.
You really turned that around and made a good point out of it.
And I did it quickly this
time.
And
you did.
Okay, because I got to get to this last point. This last point is the most serious of all.
Right.
Like I said, this is not my first time in a malaria zone,
mm-hmm,
and I mentioned all this stuff last week. I put DEET on. I hate DEET, but I wore it all week.
Used off.
I pre-treated my clothing with permethrin, mm-hmm, you know, and I came back proud of the fact I only got bit six times all week. You know, we're there, yeah, and I only got bit six times.
It only took one out of six times.
It only took one. That's a great point, but that's not the point I'm trying to make.
Right.
I only forgot one thing,
mm-hmm,
the malaria medicine. That pill that, yep, I could have taken once a week, I just forgot it.
Right.
Life has been so crazy. Mm-hmm. We have been so busy. I just forgot to go get it.
Yep.
And I've been there before. I know scores of guys who are like, oh, malaria, I don't bother taking that pill. You,
yep,
know,
and, you malaria. Know, who cares about malaria?
You know, what are the odds?
You'll never
of me?
Get malaria. What are,
yeah, you're, you know, and but I've always been the guy who's like, yep, I'm going to take this pill. I don't want malaria.
Yeah.
And
I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, big picture, it doesn't cost that much.
Mm-mm.
You do have to pre-order it because, like we said, it's not in great abundance,
right,
in Eastern Kentucky. But I only forgot one thing. I did so many things right. As a matter of fact, I mentioned last week that bad storm and how the mosquitoes didn't seem to care. I was wearing a... of course, it was a dry fit T-shirt.
Right, because Keith's on a big dry fit kick.
Pre-treated with permethrin. I've got off, freshly applied. And then when I saw how the mosquitoes were behaving that night, I was even wearing my fishing gator,
yeah,
you know, to protect my neck, yeah, you know, so that they couldn't sneak up behind me.
Nah.
And I even pulled my rain jacket out of my bag, even though it's like 90 degrees out there and
right,
the humidity's 90%. I put my rain jacket on for extra protection, you know, from those.
Mm-hmm.
I did everything right. I did so many things that were good, except for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say in this last minute that we have remaining, if you have done so many things right in your life, but you have not been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins,
mm-hmm,
don't be the guy or the girl standing before Jesus on the day of judgment saying, I did so much right.
I did so many good things.
And then to hear Jesus say, you forgot one thing.
Yep, and depart from me, I know you not.
You forgot one thing.
And it's a sad thought, too. It really is.
It is. But, you know, this was serious stuff. Our salvation is even more serious.
Yep.
And we encourage you, if you have not done what the Bible teaches, to seek out the treatment mm-hmm. that the great physician has to offer.
Yep.
If you want to study the Bible, whether you are near or far, please let us know. My email is keith@letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
Zach@letstalkaboutchristianity.com. Z-A-C-H.
You can go to our Facebook page, yep. which is facebook.com/letstalkaboutchristianity. And you can send us a message or you know, if you, I'm not giving our phone numbers out to the public, but
website too. Go to the website,
but I don't know if you can contact us directly through the website.
Maybe not.
But you know, let us know. Find yeah. us, and we will be happy to study the Bible with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we will open up the Word of God, and not like the Word of God is a checklist, but we will go through those things that the Bible says you must do in yep. order to be saved.
We will.
And we want you to make sure you've not forgotten
anything. We don't want you to be sorry.
Thank you for listening. We're out of time, and we look forward to seeing you again, hopefully next week.